Good morning, my friends. I am so grateful you're here with me today. I don't know where you are and what space you are in today, but please know that I am praying for you. I do it all the time, always lifting up those people that I really can't see you on the other side, so I don't know exactly who's listening, but I'm always praying for you. So if there's a space in your life right now that you have a need, know that I've already lifted up that prayer request to the Lord for you. But you know what? If you need even more specific, please message me. You can go to monicaswank.org and fill out the contact form there and send me an email, and I will get that information, and I will be more than happy to join you in prayer for specific needs. Speaking of monicaswank.org, if you are not already subscribed to that page, to that website, go ahead and head over there and do that, because you're going to get all the stuff that's going on a regular basis. Remember, on Mondays I'm doing blogs. On Wednesdays, I just am kind of sending out this quote and this word of encouragement for you to help build you through the rest of the week. On Thursdays, there are short little videos that those are available on YouTube as well as the website. And then on Saturdays, I'm doing a podcast for you. All of those things are available in different areas, but they're all located centrally at monicaswank.org. And if you follow that name anywhere, you can find a Facebook page for that as well as a YouTube page. So just type that into your Google search, and hopefully those things will come up for you. But you know, today, this last month, I've really been focused on this idea of spiritual health and what it means. And I've talked about that before, but a lot of times there's confusion in what that really means. And today I'm not talking about that as much as what this picture of spiritual health is. And how do we achieve that picture of spiritual health? Well, if you've journeyed along with me for any length of time in my podcast or blogs, you know that I like to paint pictures in my mind, and then I translate that to words on a page. That's an easy process for me to do. It feels very natural, something that just comes. In fact, you know, if you listen, I talk about images all the time, right? Because it's just easy for me. But today, I'm a little stumped, and I'm hoping that you can maybe help me with this image that I'm trying to draw. Here it is. I want to start with a person, okay? It male or female, it's not relevant in this case. I want a person. Okay, so if I'm drawing this, I'm drawing a stick figure. I don't know about you. Did anybody else come up with a better image? That's where I'm at in this space right now. But I want to draw this person, and I want to see this person in clothes that are dirty. Okay, so bear with me a minute, because this is where my image comes in. I want to see this person in clothes that are dirty, but not the kind of dirt that says, I was working in the garden today, but rather the kind that says, I made camp in the garden and I haven't bathed in weeks. That kind of dirt. You know, the kind where your clothes are really tattered, wrinkly, maybe some holes in them, just the dirt that clings to that, right? And maybe your shoes have a toe or two peeking out. Maybe this person has that image. That's the image I'm trying to project, okay? Go one step further. This hair. Okay, so I have really curly hair, and if I don't straighten it and I sleep on it for a day or two, it gets really twisted and knotted. And that's this image I have, right? This twisted and knotted hair that just lacks a good comb through. So see, you see, the problem isn't in the imagining for me. That's pretty easy. I can do that on my own. Pretty easy. But my goal is to share about the picture of spiritual health. And so if you're in the same place that I am right now, you're you're not seeing spiritual health in that image, right? And the dilemma for me is in the final picture, because the goal of any kind of health goal is to move towards a final picture, right? So for me, the dilemma is in this final picture. You know, the one where after we've done all the serious weightlifting, I love that term because to me, that is like serious work, whether it's physical, mental, or spiritual. That idea of weightlifting, that's intense, right? If you have gone to that place. So again, going back to this idea of this final picture, you know, after we've done all the serious weightlifting, where we've pursued spirituality with a vengeance. What does that even mean, right? But we have pursued it with a vengeance, put all of our heart and soul into it, right? Through Bible studies and prayer time and classes on self-care, messages and books on the subject. There is everything out there in the world today. Just hit a button on your computer or your phone and you have it, right? But if you're hearing me, what you're hearing is that there's a focus, there's a drive to accomplish these things. But how do you paint a picture of something that doesn't really come by way of all that stuff? Or one that looks different for every single person who experiences it? You know, you see that, and all these images just pop into my head when I say things like that, and maybe they do for you as well, but let me help you just a second. Here's, again, this dilemma I'm in. The picture of spiritual health is not what we envision when we think of the 1950s family who's heading off to church. I immediately draw an image, and I'm not this old, but I immediately draw an image to Leave It to Beaver. And just, I don't even know if they ever went to church, but just picture that family all dressed up and on their way out the door and headed off to church. That is the image that does not represent spiritual health. You're like, Monica, come on, get to the point here. It isn't even a 2022 family doing the same thing. I have a friend who sells these fat burning products, and I love watching her lose weight. The images she posts are great as she slims down into, and this is the question, into what? And I'm not poking fun at her. I am so excited to watch her when I say that. I really and truly am. But what exactly is she seeking to look like? And let me take the pressure off of her for a minute, because I don't want to do that to her, because she's being blessed by this. But what exactly, when we seek to do things like that, what are we seeking to look like? You know, as women, we constantly fight this Barbie image. And I've not really ever polled any men, but I tend to think that men might fight the Ken image. And, you know, I'm sure for my friend, it's a twofold goal, or anyone else who is seeking to do this, right? It's one to look better, but the other is to feel better, or in more modern terms, feel healthier. But again, what does that image look like? That's the one I'm having a hard time drawing in my mind. And here's the reasons why. There's a lot of them, but I'm going to give you a few of them. Here's some of the reasons. First, we draw images of health, whether it's mental, physical, or spiritual. We draw this image in the context in which we live. So because I only have one context to speak from, that's where I'm going to come from today. So for a Western mindset, that often comes with, okay, what image did you draw in your mind when you thought of physical? For me, that often comes with muscles or a flat tummy, right? If we're talking about physical appearance or health. But that's not necessarily the same response from our friends all around the world, right? Second, each of us have different pieces and parts that need growing, changing, or just downright discarding. you and I don't have the same stuff, right? So think in spiritual terms here. Someone who teaches biblical studies probably doesn't need to focus spirituality on the learning aspect. That isn't to say that they don't need to improve spirituality, but they don't probably need to focus it on the learning piece. But neither might somebody who's lived their life devoted, and that's a big word, guys, but when I say devoted, I'm talking day in, day out, living for 50 years to God, right? If you have somebody like that versus a new believer who's just learning about the Bible, there's a difference, right? So we all grow at different paces. And then thirdly, we have this disheveled, I can never even say that word, disheveled, somebody needs to correct the way I pronounce that, appearance. And just to say, that is at the beginning of a journey, but that doesn't mean there won't be remnants of that left over when we move into a healthier space. Okay, go with me to this thought for a minute, because that would be like saying someone who has bipolar tendencies will have that suddenly healed if they take the necessary steps or join the right program. So these are the dilemmas. How do we draw an image of spiritual health after we've completed it? Again, guys, these are, I hope what you're hearing is it's pretty impossible to do. We're constantly shifting, we're constantly growing or changing, and every other word that equates to transformation in life. All of us are always in that movement, whether you are actively seeking it or not. When we actively seek it is when we see more results, because one, we're paying attention to it. Two, we're intentionally seeking to make changes. So, you know, this goes back to something when I say to you guys at the end of all of my podcasts and just about everything I do, I thank you for letting me take this journey with you. That's what I mean, is that we start life as this little helpless being, right? And we gradually gain height and weight. I need you to hear that. When we grow, we're gradually just gaining height and weight that progressively takes on the shape of all other adult creatures on the earth. All other animals, plant life, anything, right? That's the physical maturity piece. But we as humans don't actually ever stop the process. The physical slows down or levels off for the most part, but our emotional, our mental, and our spiritual continually shift through new change regularly. You know, I'm thinking it would be really awesome, though, if our emotions had this on-off shift. Switch, sorry. Right? Wouldn't it be pretty cool if we could just turn off those emotions for the time being if we didn't want to deal with them? I think so. My husband would probably think so, too, since I'm kind of a high emotion person. But what picture would you draw to reflect this idea of constant fluidity on the way to health, particularly in spiritual health? It's this idea, this image of waves crashing in as they flow into the shore, and then they dissipate as they ebb away from the shore, right? Think about a wave. It comes in hard, it pushes up against the land, and then it dissipates slowly into this small little calm, often amount of water, right? So, or how about the movement of clouds as they roll across the sky? Have you ever watched the clouds? Just different paces that they take, right? Maybe it would even be a plant as it begins life as a seedling and then grows into, I don't know, let's say a mighty oak tree, because they all start the same. There just aren't any predefined steps that allow us to reach a maximum level. Hear that, my friend. That is so, so, so important for you to remember, because it takes out of it this element of comparison. There just aren't any predefined steps that allow us to reach a maximum level. Well, not the kind that most of us like to hear about anyway. Ooh, threw that one in. I have a few that help, but they come at a price. But if you think about it, isn't there an old adage that says something like, nothing worth having comes easy? Well, if you've come this far in today's podcast, are you going to stick around for the rest of it? I hope so. I hope you do, my friend, because there's so much benefit for you. I recently published a study book, and if you haven't seen that out there, it's called True Dependence, Moving Deeper in Relationship with God. It's a study book, and it's available on Amazon. It's just an ebook currently, but it's also available at monicaswink.org. But again, going back to this idea that because there's something else I wanted to share with you, but I just wanted to let you know that, hey, there is a study book out there available for you. And in it, I talk about those things that naturally draw us into a better spiritual space because they lead us to the place in which that all flows from God. The book that the chapters in my study book get their roots from is similar in nature. It moves us to the point where we see our own needs and desires as they fit into the relationship we build with God. Both eventually turn our focus from self to dependence in His greater power. And I'm also working on a new book. I told you writing comes easy for me. I hope it's good enough that you enjoy it or gain something from it. But I'm also working on this new book that utilizes tools like real physical tools, hammers, saws, chalk lines, those kinds of things. It utilizes tools and a tool belt. You know what one of those are, right? Clip it on, carry around your tools in it. That draw a connection with those things that God gives to us naturally, that help us to develop a deeper relationship with Him. And it's a really cool book. I can't wait for it to come out because I think it makes things practical for us. It's very hard to hold on to the intangible in our minds and make it a practical aspect for our lives. So that's what this book will move us into. But this is what I'm talking about today as well, right? Here's a thing, you know, I'm going to list for you today in this space some of those practices that you can do on your own to begin that transformation. But I want you to hear that there's one key ingredient, and if you don't have it, you're not going to succeed. I know, I love you, my friends. I hope you hear my heart. You're going to make some positive changes if you don't have that ingredient. You'll see new clarity to your faith. I cannot give 100% guarantee on those things because, again, you and I are different. But I can tell you there's a real good possibility of it. You'll most likely learn some things about the scriptures that you didn't know and probably things about yourself. But if you do not do them with Jesus as front and center, then it will all eventually wash out with the tide as it flows back out to sea. And then it develops into another wave that's going to come crashing in this magnificent speed, and it is going to just bear down on that unrelenting rock of the land. images, my friend, but I hope you understand I'm talking about your life. If you do not do these things with Jesus as front and center, if you only attempt to improve your spiritual health the same way you might your physical or mental health without Jesus as front and center, then when the next wave of life, that next challenge, that next really hard moment, when it hits you, it is going to come in hard, powerful, and is going to knock you down and throw you up against that rock, right? And then it's going to rush back out to do the same thing. I really, really try to leave this open for people of different walks in their relationship with God. But you need to hear that. And that is not to say that you need to be in a specific space, that it is a certain way that you do that. That is to say that you just need to keep your eyes focused and your intention focused on Jesus and not just on self. So with that in mind, when you give some of these suggestions a try, keep that central to the activity that you're doing, because Jesus is the author of change. Why? I know some of this stuff seems so simple and you're probably like, oh, stop, Monica, we get it. But I just want you to hear it again, because sometimes for me, when I hear things said different ways, it clicks with me differently. So I know you already know Jesus is the author of change, but think about it this way. He alone grasped this idea of where life has been. He gets fully where your life has been. He gets where it is currently, and he gets where it is heading. Okay, so I'm gonna draw a connection for you here, and I hope this resonates with you, but he grasped this idea of where your life personally has been, where it is currently, and where it's heading for the future. Like, he sees all that, right? You and I grasp where it has been and where it is currently for the most part. But even if we set goals, we can never project where it is heading. Jesus sees us individually as that piece, but he also grasps where life all around us in our current culture, in our current worlds. He grasps not just us in our space that we live in, but all of life and us in the middle of it, where it was, where it is now, and where it's heading. We think we get it on our own, but it's really too broad of a scale for us to understand what events or people have impacted us and in what specific ways they have. So the picture of health begins with that concept, and then everything else moves fluidly around it. And when I say fluidly, this is really important. I mean that as you strengthen and you grow in one area, another may uncover the ugly and ancient gunk. It just happens. I wish I could protect you, but you're going to grow in those spaces. So I don't really want to protect you, but man, I want to be your friend along the way. So know again that I am praying for you as you do these things. Because as you strengthen and grow in one area, like I said, some of that stuff is going to come out. I remember a time sitting in a class and a professor had walked us through some just major stuff in our life. And I walked into the class and I thought, oh my gosh, guys, did you just climb out of a black closet? Because I did, right? That's the space you may walk into. So just be prepared for that. That when you resolve one of those things, You may find yourself back in a place where growth has to occur again to move on. But don't get discouraged, because it's the same with all of life. All creation goes through these phases. Think about creation in those terms, and I bet you'll be able to recall some things. Okay, this is going to sound really childlike, but it's a good example. The Disney movie, The Lion King, remember that movie if you ever saw it? The words were, the circle of life. Okay, there's truth in that. It's the same thing with spiritual health as we begin to make changes in it and we see God transforming us in certain places. Okay, it's called the circle of life. It just moves us, it shifts us. I know Lion King talked about that in a different context, but I'm not eating any, well, I'm not even going to go there, but they did eat each other in that movie, in case you forgot. So let me go through some of these practical steps that I wanted just to leave you with today. Step one, trust Jesus to do the heavy lifting. Okay, you're on the weight bench, 300 pounds above you. I don't know about you, I'm not budging 300 pounds, probably not even one side of it. Okay, step one, trust Jesus to do the heavy lifting. Begin each and every effort that you make with spiritual change with prayer, as well as a relinquishment of control. Hey, Jesus, I can't do this. You got this. And everything you do for me, Jesus, I'm going to just follow right along. We're going to walk this together, but I need you to do this for me. And then when you get into a particular spiritual growth activity and realize that you've forgotten step one, stop then and do it. Don't feel guilty. You're going to forget. Stop what you're doing at that moment in time and do that prayer, lift it up, let God handle it for you, and then just jump back in where you were and left off, that where you left off, and jump back in. Just because I believe in the truth of it with all of my being, I'm going to say it again. Step one, trust Jesus to do the heavy lifting. Step two, read your Bible. I'm really trying not to hammer any ugly things that you've heard in your life into your head, but this is important. But did you know today there's not one format or one version of scripture lacking? It's just that easy to find one that works for you. Not one that your mom, your dad, your grandma, somebody used. Not something that is difficult for you to understand. One that reads easy, makes logical sense, and you can interpret it and apply it to your life in a more simple manner than you could some other versions of it. It's okay, my friend, if you read those scriptures. And spend each day reading. If you have 10 minutes, do it. If you have 30 minutes, do that. But don't feel guilty for any amount of time. God will not make you feel guilty for 5 or 10 minutes of reading His Word. Why would God make you feel guilty for reading His Word? God is not the author of guilt. He is not making you feel guilty. If you have 5 minutes, do it, my friend. That's it. Don't feel guilty. Don't walk away feeling I should have given more. It's kind of like, if we do that, it's kind of like saying that 10-minute walk you took around your block did nothing for your body. That's not true. So while you're reading, there's another aspect of that I want you to pay attention to. If something stands out, write it down. And then spend the next 24 hours asking God to show you why it stood out. I don't know which scripture verse to give you. I've got hundreds of them laying around me, but whatever it is that appears to you in that verse, one word, 3 words, 4 verses, whatever it is, ask God to show you why it stood out. And when you sit down to read it again, and if that thought is still with you, learn what you can about the meaning of the verse. So what I'm saying is, you're going to read it. You're going to ask God to show you for 24 hours what He wants you to see. And I want you to sit back down and read it again. And if you're still troubled by that, or it's still brought up, that verse still stands out for you, or that thought or whatever it is you read about, if that still sticks out to you, then dig in a little further and find out what you can about that verse, what it really means. Does it apply in some way to your life? Okay, so if you're reading about Peter denying Christ, I'm sorry, that's just the one that popped into my head. But if you're reading about Peter denying Christ, does that apply in some way to your life? What is it trying to tell you? Is it past, present, or possibly future importance for you? Does it speak to an event or a person in your life? I think you've got this by now. I'm going to stop beating that over the head. But I want you to do this because it's called exploring. There are riches in this activity. If you can imagine it, it's like the find of a lifetime for an archaeologist or a deep sea diver, right? Wow, these pearls just came up. These coins of gold from, I don't know, 50 AD, you know, this massive treasure. But you don't know until you ask the master historian, who is God, if there's value in it. Growth does not occur just from finding the words. It happens when you ask yourself the tough questions, when you discover if it applies to your life. Just a small disclaimer. I've yet to find anything in the Bible that does not in some way relate to my life. It may not be for that particular season, but if I do this kind of work, it is stored in my memory and comes back when it's needed. You may find the same thing. I've given you some ideas. We've talked about visions of health in our spiritual life, but we still haven't come up with that picture-perfect image of health. Will you do me a small favor? I don't usually ask these, but after you've done these few things, will you come back and let me know what you see? What things popped up into your life? You can drop your comments right here in this public space, or you can shoot me an email at contact@monicaswink.org. Again, know that I'm praying for you in this journey, and I love you, my friends. I'll continue to pray that you find treasures in your life. Thank you with all of my heart for letting me take this journey with you. Until next time, blessings.